Zach, kick things off. Name, age, where you live, and what your business is.
My name is Zach Watson. I am 33 years old, or almost 33 and a half. I live in Massachusetts. I know you have an international audience of America. Are you in Massachusetts too?
I'm from Springfield, baby.
Do you live in Springfield?
No, I live in Austin, Texas, but I'm from Chicopee, Mass.
Oh my God. Well, we're just in Austin 3 days ago. I'm pissed. That would have been cool to meet you and or have you be a part of the thing. Either way, what my business is. So I recently made the jump to full-time content creator. I'd been doing it as a side hustle for, I don't know when it ever became a hustle, I guess last summer when I started taking like coaching seriously, where a lot of people were asking for my services and I didn't have any. So my friend Frank, and I think you're friends with Stone.
Yeah. Yes.
I took his program and he encouraged me to put a one-on-one call out there. I was terrified of putting a dollar amount on it, and got my first clients in July and August, and had enough traffic in October that I was like, I can't meet this demand without a group program. October, November, December, filled up my group programs and put my 2 weeks in at my sales executive job at a software company, QuickBase. Man.
Good for you, bro. That's a huge, as myself, having just gone through that process a few weeks ago, probably right around the same time as you, it is it feels so good. You know, you need to create more space for you to see what could happen with this business. And I'm sure it's going to work out to your advantage. What part of Massachusetts though do you live in? Or you don't have to say specific if you want to keep it bird's eye view.
Probably about 30 minutes north of Worcester. But right. I grew up in Foxborough.
Okay. I love this call already. Okay. So also big fan of your content. Like I said before we jumped on, truly, I think the content you're putting out there is really helpful for a lot of people, especially men, who I think is probably maybe the target demo. But back to you. 30 minutes, open door. We can go anywhere you want, professional, personal, whatever. How can we give you the most value in this call? What are some of those top things in mind that like you're either struggling with, have roadblocks with, have been trying to solve, the New Year's resolution didn't work? Like, where's Zach at today?
Yeah. Let's see. I'll start off with this. Like, I feel like I'm a really good goal setter in general. I set 60-day goals like on the mark every 60 days. I recently started a dream of mine of the past like 5 years of like doing it with a group of guys that every 60 days we can all check in. And furthermore, I hate resolutions because I think they are like, they come from the context of there's something wrong with us and we need to fix it rather than like, what do you want to go after in a more like something that we haven't accomplished yet, but isn't making ourselves wrong for where we are necessarily. So my big thing, not a big thing, but I decided in November that my resolution was going to be not drink alcohol in 2024. And, so I was like, I'm not going to wait till New Year's to declare this and have this be a thing. So I started in November because I was like, I know that if I put off something till Monday or that I put out something till tomorrow that I don't follow through. But if I do it right when I have the thought that it works, I don't know why I felt the need to say that. I guess just
I love that. No, I love that. This is good. You're giving more context to some just you in general. So I'm loving this.
I think the one of the things that I was looking forward to that worked out well the first like 3 days and things have gone held since then is having like a daily habit around cold showering, doing a little bit of exercise and journaling. And I can't seem to – I think there's a mixture of – so right now I don't know if purging is the right word. One of the things I'm working on doing in my business. So it was a side hustle the past 4 months. My wife, Alyssa, did a ton of sacrifice in doing like the whole nighttime routine with our toddler for the night times so that I could open up my calendar to have discovery calls with people.
Great wife right there.
Yeah. And the other huge part of it was like, okay, we're going to open that up, but we're also going to do 8 p.m. call. So right now I'm running five cohorts of men with that are about 2 hours each, starting. Most of them are at three of the four at 8 PM. And I still have one one-on-one client that's at 8 PM. And I feel like those calls get over 90 minutes or 2 hours later around 9:30, 10. And I'm like buzzing from like, just, I get a lot of joy and fulfillment out of those. And I have a hard time getting to sleep. And so then like this, this reoccurring formula of like going to sleep late, and I'm trying to stay true to like having seven-ish hours of sleep at least. And so then I'll wake up a little bit later and then I won't feel behind the eight ball in the morning. I'm curious what, I mean, I'm a huge fan of, you know, nonfiction books. I think my first favorite book was The Compound Effect.
It's a great book.
I took down Atomic Habits last year, Power of Habit. I got a bunch of them on my bookcase right there. But
I love it.
If you were to prescribe a recommendation for like what, I think part of the other reason that keeps me up and I don't want to go to bed is that's when I get really great content creation ideas. So it's like, just got through this 2 hour thing and, you know, there are five things that came out. One, I'm really excited about. I want to shoot the video while I'm excited about it and I'm passionate about it, rather than putting it on the queue for tomorrow morning. So yeah, I think just, I would love to do that. And like I wrote, actually self published my own goal setting book.
Wow. Good for you.
And like journal, just cause it's like, it's pretty close to the 5 minute journal with a little bit more weekly structure and like 60 day structure to it. But I suck at writing in it. I'm terrible.
And it's your book, you said?
Yeah. And I self-published it myself.
And you can't write it.
It says, I literally made this for myself. If it scratches your itch too, I'm glad.
Okay. So let's pause right here because I don't want to keep getting deeper and deeper. There's already so much to jam on. My question for you immediately is, what would it take for you to move up these calls from 8 PM to 6 PM instead, or 5 PM or a different time of the day? What would it take? And is it possible?
You know, I had never considered actually moving the ones that are currently going, but kind of what I did was I said, the cohorts that I now have available for people to register into are earlier in the day.
Great.
And I've opened up my calendar till 6 PM for sales calls. So that Alyssa's not making the sacrifice anymore. Now that I'm doing this full time and I don't feel guilty about having my work calendar filled with, like client appointments.
Yeah.
Cause now those are the same. So yeah, that's one of the things is like once, so the Sunday group that was at 8 PM that just completed. And I'm going to be inviting them and the other two groups that are 8 PM to, I'll probably have one day a week that's at 8 PM. Cause I think I'm in East Coast. So like having something available for the people on the West Coast, that's not during business hours, seems important to meet that need for them. So I'm thinking like, I'll just have a Thursday 8 PM one, but the rest of the nights are going to be mostly free.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that solves a lot of it, but I also know myself well enough to be like last night I didn't have a group. Our kid didn't go down till 9-ish. I still didn't go to bed till 10:30. So I'm like, damn, it's not actually those. That's the problem.
Yeah. So a couple of thoughts come to my mind immediately. One is, first off, I respect that you are trying to meet your clients in the sense of like, they're on the West Coast. They need more of a, you know, a later 5, 6 PM class course for them or class with you. So that means it's late for you, 7, 8 PM. What I would challenge you and say, one thing I think you really need to start thinking through, and especially if you have, how many kids? One?
One, yeah.
Yeah, props to you, brother. I'm not there yet, but I imagine that's a whole nother responsibility, right? Like I'm learning with just adopting a dog recently, that's more responsibility. I'm like, this is preparing me for the kids someday. Yeah. So what I would really challenge you and say is, in the picture perfect world, what are the, and you don't have to know the answer right now, but what are the hours in which you operate your business? I think it's very important for you to sit and think about, in a picture perfect world, if I did, because when I hear you say I have to meet the clients where they're at, I have to do a late call, that's great that you're doing that. But there's also something to be said about if you are just very clear on like, these are the hours I operate, people are going to find a way to make it work. Let me give an example. I had a recent client sign on with me, works full time, builds her business on the side. I gave her a bunch of potential times that worked to my best schedule. I didn't ask her what works best for you, because if she hits me three times that I'm like, feel inconvenienced, it's not going to work. So I give her the options and she found a way to make it work. And I know one of the call times for her is like, she has to do it during her lunch break, which is not ideal, but like the other options were, do I want to get on an 8 p.m. call? No. Do I want to do calls on the weekend? No. These are boundaries of mine where I'm very clear, like they're make or break. And maybe in that case, I would have found a way to make it work. But ultimately, she saw the value in the program. She wanted to work with me. And so she's making that short-term sacrifice of one day of the week during her lunch, she's on the call with me. So the first thought is getting very clear. And I think you're already doing that where it's like one day of the week is fine. I'm going to do the 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Then you get those moments where you're really excited about the content. I would just make a note and pause. Otherwise, it's going to prolong you to stay up later. There's moments when I'm shutting my laptop. I have a hard stop at 6 every day. I'm fired up because I see there's like so many more things to do, but I have to remind myself, Zach, there's always going to be more work to be done. And also, how fortunate and lucky am I that I want to keep working where most people can't wait to shut their laptop because they hate the work they do. So I flip it on myself. I'm like, be grateful that you're excited and recognize that there is always going to be more tasks. So what's that like perfect point where you just recognize it's time to shut it down for the day? And for me, it's 6. And then I'll pick back up where I left off, which then bleeds into getting to bed on the right time so you can get up early and prioritize the habits.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the answer to that one would probably be about 8:15 to 3:30. Mixture of it. A huge part of it is our daughter goes to daycare at 8 o'clock and then she gets out at 3:30. Mm-hmm. It kills me inside a little bit, maybe not kills a strong word, but I think when Alyssa picks her up at 3:30 and then, I think I still feel like I'm very much in that early stage where like, I really want to be putting in 40 hours a week right now so that, in a couple months, I'll have some of the infrastructure built so that I don't feel the need to keep doing 40 hours a week. But I also, I think I just get way more stuff done. Like I know my, some of my bad habits are like, if I want some dopamine, I go to my chess app, and play like a minute of bullet chess, or I'll jump into my DMs and get showered in a handful of, really wonderful DMs from women saying, thank you so much for what you do. And I know that those are like, when I don't want to do something hard, that's where I go to. And I think I'm much less likely to do that earlier in the day from like 7, 8 a.m. Maybe right when I wake up, sometimes I'll do that to like step, like if I feel like I'm typically somewhat sleep deprived. And it's a mixture between like our daughter sometimes has some odd needs, like 3 a.m. the other day, she just decided I'm going to be awake for a while. okay. Not a fan of this, but we'll work through it. And I think Alyssa had already worked with her earlier in the night, so it's sort of my turn. So I think 7 or 8 a.m. I've been decent with the cold showers. I've been flipping it on and off between I'll either take my shirt off and run in the woods in our backyard and like growl, get my like angry, kind of the course we took recently would probably describe it as like masculine sword energy, which feels weird saying out loud, but that's kind of what it is, getting like my game face on, kind of same thing with like turning the cold water on for the shower.
That's a good way to sit in discomfort, which then leads you to get more comfortable in doing the uncomfortable things. So I've been a huge fan of cold showers and probably started doing that 5 or 6 years ago. And then eventually ended up getting a cold plunge, and that consistent practice of sitting in the cold and sitting in the uncomfortable has led me to just leaning into so many more uncomfortable things. So I think just to kind of hit that again, though, is like, I think one, we need to just ask ourselves, what are those working hours that work best for me? And we're talking at the perfect time because I'm in the same position, right? Which is I want to put in the 40 hours a week, and I'm just being extremely intentional and mindful for when I put those hours in so that it's not bleeding into personal life and things that, you know, I do need to carve out time for balance so that I can step away from the work and recharge. And the other thing I want to say is challenging you to make the physical and mental habits like non-negotiables. I have seen such a positive ROI from doing that. And even like today, right before I went on the run, I'm like, I don't want to do this. I'd rather just get right into work mode because I have so much to do and I'm excited. But I compartmentalize and remind myself, this choice to run is actually going to be the greatest investment because I'm going to feel more energized for the day ahead. And it's setting me up for the long term for my health, right? Mm-hmm. So it's asking yourself, what's on the other side of this ability for, what's on the other side of me actually doing the thing? No one enjoys walking into the gym. We love walking out. So if you remind yourself, you walking into the gym or going for the run or doing whatever the workout is, you're going to feel more energized. You're going to feel more clarity. You're going to feel more focused in the day. You're going to feel more confident in your own skin because you knew you pushed yourself to do the thing you didn't want to do. Like when we start looking at the pros of what comes from it, it might make it easier for you to just say, I need to do this and I can't like make an excuse not to. And I also want to say, like, I'm not saying get up an hour earlier and neglect the sleep and now only sleep 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, I really don't think most of us recognize that our day truly starts at the end. So like prioritizing getting enough sleep so that you can feel great for the next 24 hours and then waking up feeling energized and recharged so that you can attack the day ahead. So like, how do we make sure you're getting the 7, 8, whatever works for you, 7.5, 8 hours of sleep, boom, get that, wake up. Maybe you're someone that wants to drop right into work mode, go focus for 2 or 3 hours and then work out. If that works for you, great. For me, I'm more of, I want to wake up, prioritize the mental, physical, spiritual, and then dive into the work. So that by the time I sit down at this desk around 9 every morning, 9:30, I've been up since 6. That's like 3.5 hours. I am chomping at the bit to dive in because I'm now feeling like all of the, my cup has been filled. So now it's time to fill up the rest of the world's cup through my content, through something I'm working on, a course, a podcast. And that's been a huge shift for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, so like what you'd said about like recording the idea. So I have a spreadsheet that I've been, one of my goals I set, I think one thing I've identified over the years of goal setting is that we have like, I don't know if you've ever read the 12-week year, but
I haven't read it, but I'm very familiar with the book.
It talks about like lead and lag measures. So all the time we're looking at lag measures, like losing the weight, when it's more important that we look at the actions that we're putting in. Mm. So like, I know that getting out 3 pieces of content a day with at least one of them with a call to action to pretty much to book a call is one of the huge things I've been working on. And I know that for me to successfully do that perpetually for the foreseeable future, I need to get good at seeing the idea, taking a couple minutes to write, do it out, make the video, edit it, schedule it instead of posting it is like a big deal for, I think, the longevity of what I want. So like we have a trip coming up in a couple months to go to Ireland. I would love to turn my brain off of work that week as much as I can't, because I see everything in the, you probably have a content creator's brain like me. I can't unsee me sitting down at my desk as B-roll with music playing in the background. But yeah, like I've been, my number one habit that I wanted to build was anytime I had a content idea, if I feel like I have the time and space to record it in that moment, putting it in the Excel sheet, writing that it's been recorded, that it's been edited, trying to use repurpose.io to put it up instead of posting it in that moment, because I think it's a little reverse of what Alex Hormozi said in $100 million leads of like, he thinks you have a little more skin in the game, that the value will be there on the video if you put post in that moment versus I'm good at that part. And the hard part for me is like delaying the gratification of a post.
Yeah, I get that. That's also for someone like me who is very B-roll focused. Like, I get it. There's a difference between the aura of someone that's like hyper passionate about the subject. And I've recorded things where I look at it, replay it back. I was like, I'm not as passionate for that. But then the next video I recorded a day later, I was like, I could feel it in myself. So that's obviously something to kind of keep in mind. And you have to, you have to toy around with figuring out like what works best for you. For me, it's like, I just keep a running tab of ideas and then I compartmentalize what time of day I focus on creating those short pieces of content. And for me recently, like for the last year, I was so heavy focused, one post a day minimum. I'm actually now just completely re-engineering that because there's things that I'm building on the back end that take up more time. And so if I expect myself to post once a day, I'm actually slowing down the process of building out the back end things, which I know are so important and valuable that I need to like implement and create and offer to the world. So it's also just that constant, like, you know, if you feel three posts a day is great, great. Maybe, what would two look like? How would that create more time for other things that you want to focus in on? Or, you know, when you do take that trip to Ireland, what would it look like now that I love that you already know this month in advance, it builds enough healthy pressure. Like, you know, that trip is coming. So like, what would it look like for Zach to be able to like completely step away from work and have an abundance mindset, knowing that there might be emails that come in where there's lost money, right, on the line, but you recognize like, this is a long game and you carving out the time to enjoy your trip to Ireland is more important than making an extra $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, because you know, this is an ongoing process. There's always going to be money left on the table. So I also think that this is a good opportunity for you to challenge yourself and like, what can I do between now and then to make sure that when I step away, I can be present on the trip rather than, you know, trying to squeeze out a post right before we go take the tour or like checking the DM in between like dinner, you know, I've tried that game. And for me, I really try to compartmentalize on and off mode. And when I'm off, like truly being able to be in the moment and enjoy it. Cause so many people, you know, we look forward to that trip. And then while we're on the trip, all our mind is doing is programmed to think about the business or the work that we're focusing on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, some of what you're saying is a good, like affirmation and nod to like some of the things I've been thinking about. So I've been trying to move all of my stuff over to Go High Level instead of Stand Store. Because what I want to be able to do is call the leads that I have. So I'm probably pulling in, I don't know, 40 new phone numbers and emails every day from either. I'm up close to like 10,000 folks. I'm on that list.
Wow.
And, I want to be able to call them. And I know that right now, Stand Store, there's no good way to call them through it. But if it's in Go High Level, that like I can, you know, I was a sales rep for a year making cold calls 100 a day. Wow. And these are warm. So pretty much calling my fans that are interested in talking with me. So I know that there's a lot of value in being able to respond to them quickly. And I like the idea of I want to hire a setter and possibly a closer in the next couple months so that at some point the setter is going to get me so many goddamn meetings that I have nothing to do besides close every day. And then I'll be like, okay, I need someone to help me out with this.
Yeah. Also too, another strategy is like testing with some of these people, like because there's social proof of who you are and they're already warm to you, right? Like testing, like what does it look like to tell people up front what it costs to work with me. And, you know,
I've been terrified of that, honestly.
Yeah, I get it. But I'm also working through that on my end. That's why I did like a little huff. Cause I've been going back and forth where like, there's no right or wrong way to do it. But like, I have a friend of mine that just, he just went through a launch for his program this week. And I know his application process. It's just like, this is who the program's for. This is who it's not for. You know, what are you most focused on? Here's the price. Are you aligned? Yes or no. And he'll lock in five high paying clients without any calls until their first call. So it depends on the audience. It depends on the program, right? But I think it's worth a test. If you're getting 40 people like actively like signing up, I don't know what the funnel looks like to that point, but like it might be worth testing. Like, what does it look like to send out you know, like an email to some of them saying, hey, here's my one-on-one program, is this of interest? Try some with like, this is the cost. Try some where you have to get on the call. But I just found myself doing a lot of sales calls and not a lot of closing. And whether that was me not, I don't think it was necessarily me being not a good salesperson. I just think the quality of the people that were coming in just weren't the right fit. So that was also something that I had to work through on my end too.
Yeah, I realized I needed to add more friction to my funnel back in October when I think TikTok people seem to be a little bit less likely to pay for programming versus Instagram and Facebook. So I've since I was really grateful earlier this month, my TikTok and Instagram went head to head for 7 days. They're on the same exact 314,000.
Wow.
And then the collaboration with Kristen Bell.
Saw that huge.
Matched Instagram. Instagram's at 360 now.
Same problem. Yeah, when you do a collab with someone like that, A-list celeb, I mean, props to you, man. Yeah. That's just another validation point for you of just like you're doing the right thing and you're clearly speaking the right message to the right people. We got about 5 minutes left. Are there any other thoughts that come to mind that we could chat about today or cover that might be helpful or most relevant for you right now?
I think I really liked the idea you talked about in right as you're about to do something that's either uncomfortable or like it's on your calendar, but you don't want to do it that moment is like trying to fast forward to the 60 or 90 or 2 hours later. Like, why would I be glad that I took the time to do that? Cause I think all the time I see the next thing on my calendar, I'm like, I don't want to go work on Go High Level for an hour. I don't want to work on my lead magnet swaps, which I'm paying a company to coach me how to do things. And I don't want to do their homework.
Yeah.
But I put in a significant investment into learning something new. And every time that I skip that one, knowing that I'm kind of putting money down the drain because I'm not getting as good of coaching from them because I'm not doing as much of the execution. It's funny. I'm recognizing I use a lot of pain points on myself to sell myself on things more so than the positive outcome.
It can be a mix of both. It can be a mix of recognizing what will happen if I don't do this thing and what will happen if I do the thing. Right. So I think that can actually serve as both valuable, but I think when you look towards the benefits, it's going to incentivize and encourage you to fall through and actually do the thing. But one thing that you said that I want to really challenge you also is, and I don't know what this looks like for you, but like scheduling, right? Like that's so much of what I help people do is like, you control your time. So how can you optimally and efficiently and effectively use that time? And an example for me is just like, I split my day into my working day. The mornings are all creative work from 9 a.m. till 2. I won't do any calls. From 2 to 6 is all back-end business calls like this or whatever. So my challenge for you is just like pay attention to like, oh, I recognize I don't want to do the homework for that coaching program because I just want to, you know, focus on the things that most excite me for my business, which is great. Find the time frame in your day where like you're not really excited to create and then swap that in for the time to do the homework or to do the tasks that you don't necessarily want to do it. So it's not that I don't like doing coaching calls. It's that I recognize it's so important for me to focus on the creative in the morning when I'm full of energy and just like distraction free. And then at some point I recognize like by the time I stopped around 1, I was like, I'm done for the day. Like I can't write anymore. If I keep looking at this, I'm just going to half-ass the work because I'm mentally tapped out on this part of my brain. So perfect. Let's shift gears. And now let's go into external or communication, email, phone call mode. And I feel energized doing this now for this part of my day.
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing in that one is I think what I'm good at, I mean, I feel like when I jump into those cold showers, like it's a metaphor for the day is like, all right, we're doing the hard thing first. And I feel like I'm good at doing hard things first in the morning. I could create content probably any hour of the day. It's rare I'll look at the items that I could make and then be like, nah, I don't want to do that right now. I'm always up for it. It's the hard things of like building backend stuff that's really hard for me. So doing that first thing in the morning is probably how I spend 3 hours a day is building backend stuff. And then it's like a break from that to go do the fun stuff and be creative.
I get it. There's things that, you know, as new founders and entrepreneurs on truly on our own path right now, like you have to do the things you don't necessarily want to do that aren't as sexy or as fun as creating the content, but it's absolutely crucial. So it's just finding those pockets of the day where you're like, I'm okay with doing this. I don't feel the FOMO of missing out on creating or doing other things, but it's that, you know, it's just the balance of like, you have to find the time to do the thing and know that with time, you know, I'm sure you'll build an infrastructure or people in place that can do those things. So you don't have to focus on them and you can just keep narrowing in on the thing that really matters most to you.
Yeah. You occur to me as a person that journals. Am I accurate?
Yes.
Do you do like a daily journal?
I've been toying and trying different things over the last few years. More recently, I have approached my journaling where I write 6 manifestations 5 times each. And that's been, I've never done this before until the start of the new year. I kind of just, the timing wasn't because it was like new year, new me. It was just like, I just was like, I'm going to start writing these manifestations and reminding myself daily of them. And I started doing that. That's been really good. Right after I would do that, I was also documenting daily in a 1-page journal, just like what's on my mind, what happened the last 24 hours, good, bad, in between. And recently I found myself kind of speeding through that part of the journal and not wanting to do it. So I've just kind of stepped away from doing that and it's felt good. And now I'm only going to write in that journal when I feel like I have something I really want to share. So it's felt really good. But I think the journal approach is just kind of asking yourself, what are you looking to get most out of it? I feel some of the journal stuff that I would be writing, I'm either recording a long podcast on or making short form on. So I just haven't been as much writing in there, but I try to, you know, document my thoughts and what's top of mind. Or if I don't do the journal, I find other ways to let that out of me.
The reason I ask is because I feel like I want to be journaling on a consistent basis. Like I find a lot of pride and I look over at my, I have a bookshelf next to me with all my journals since 2021. They're every 60 days. And I think knowing that I can go back to a lot of points in my life in the past couple of years and like look to see, oh, what did I do that day? There's a lot of journal pages missing. Mm. And that's a little discouraging, but I try to keep reminding myself why I'm doing it. And I think when I come to gratitude for where I am and like, you know, recently our dog died and like knowing that there's a lot of journal entries that I write, like how glad I am that, you know, there's a scribble on the page because our dog bumped my elbow because they wanted cuddle. I think I get in a really good mood. It's almost hard to see the long-term effects. I feel like I've already been reaping those rewards of like, I'm just a really happy fucking person. I can't turn it off.
Yeah. Well, if you need 2 thoughts, one is, once again, remind yourself of the finish line of what happens when you write these daily thoughts, even if you feel like you don't want to do it, is being able to reflect on it. But also a great example of the benefit of writing is look at Matthew McConaughey. I don't know if you read his book. Did you read Green Lights?
No.
If you like Matthew McConaughey at all, you should absolutely read his book. But his entire book is a reflection on his journal entries. And it's incredible because he pulls entries into the storytelling of his own book. So that was the first time I'd ever seen something like that done. And it was like, wow, in the day-to-day moments of writing the journal, it can feel like a waste of time or like, why are we doing this? But for him being able to go, you know, look back and then pull direct thoughts and where he was at in his life during those moments, it was really cool. So that's a great book, but also might be a good reminder for you to why you are writing and just some motivation to keep doing it.
Yeah. He was on the podcast, one of my friends that had me on her podcast. So she was talking it up, but I don't think I got a synopsis. So hearing that, I think I'm going to add that to my reading list.
Yeah. Green Lights is good. Let's recap real quick. So a couple things that come to my mind, and then if there's anything else that you think you want to highlight. One is just continue to be mindful about how you're structuring your day, especially with these like external calls or group coaching calls. Like at the end of the day, Zach, people want to work with you. So if you set the parameters on when you're available, they are going to follow suit and find a way to make the time. And if there is that one-off case scenario, such as like you said, I will do one Thursday where it's, you know, at 8 p.m., great. But for the rest of everyone else, it's going to be between your set working hours. So be mindful about when are you available, when you're not, you control that. Two, I think continuing to lean in the discomfort, do the cold shower, go do the workout, even when you don't want to do it. That also goes hand in hand with just making sure you feel like you're getting adequate sleep. Funny enough, I have a podcast coming out tomorrow on this, and the statistics behind how many of us are not getting enough sleep is ridiculous. And I don't think we recognize how much we're leaving on the table by not getting that sleep. What are any other highlights or takeaways you want to, that resonate most with you? Journaling, obviously, making that more of a habitual.
I really liked you pointed out, I before I was helping men stay accountable to their growth and taking the mental load off their partners, I was just an accountability coach. And I would be an amoeba to whatever your needs were. And multiple of the people I took on for free so I could get the reps in were trying to improve their morning habits. And oftentimes we kept coming to, well, what time do you go to bed? And like, what do you need to do to wind down so that you can go to bed at that time? And I've kind of forgot about how important the next day starts at night.
100%.
So yeah, I don't see that there's any reason that I can't actually just be done with the call at 9:30, 10-ish, and then, you know, go to bed, because I think training to be body in bed by like 10:05 or something, like I think I can train myself to do that. And once I'm there, like I go to sleep. Yeah. The hard part is getting to the bed.
Yeah. And I think just committing to after that call, you know, it starts at 8 and you don't get off till 9:30, 10, just recognize like, yes, I'm going to be inspired to want to keep creating after this call. But what I will allow myself to do is write down high level bullets of these thoughts that I want to create on. And I will pick back up where I left off tomorrow, because I recognize it's the end of the day. I need to get to sleep and I need to prioritize that in order to feel great the next day, and test. Like maybe it's a 10 breath meditation where you close your eyes right before you get up from the computer. You breathe in, breathe out, watch how much that just calms you down. And then forcing yourself to get in bed at the right time, I think that will also create that accountability within you as well.
Yeah.
How do we feel?
I feel good. I think I'm like re-inspired to wake up earlier in the morning, which I made a podcast episode today with my wife and how that actually caused a problem this morning. So between that and this, I think I've been wanting to do that, but I haven't made it a priority, and I can see it tonight is going to be a priority.
Good, good. Well, I think this was a great conversation. I think there will be people that will listen to this and also resonate with some of the topics that we chatted on. So yeah, thank you for taking the time. And I appreciate keeping this conversation between me and you going.
Yeah. It's great to meet you today, Bobby.
Likewise, brother. Massachusetts, baby. Let's go.